Amen. If you'd like to go ahead and begin turning your scripture for communion, we'll be looking at a communion meditation. So 1 Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians. Going to interrupt Paul right in the midst of what he was speaking about. But Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but he sent me to preach the good news, the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." In other words, the cross of Christ will have an effect if we'll let it, if we don't get in the way of it. Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So to one group of people, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. To us who have experienced it, we understand that what they see as foolishness is actually the opposite of foolishness. It's the power of God. It's the work of God. And I want to preach a message this morning called Cross Opposite. Cross Opposite. They called it foolishness, but no, it's the opposite of foolishness. It's the power of God. I want to tell you this before we get started, because there's been so many churches in America that, because the people of the world didn't want to hear it, they've gotten rid of songs about the cross. They don't preach messages about it. But I want to say, if we get beyond the preaching of the cross, we've gone too far. If we've advanced beyond the preaching of the cross, we've advanced too far. Amen. I want to preach on cross opposite. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, anoint us. You know every need in this place. You know the one filled with darkness that you want to shine your light, Lord, this morning. You know the one struggling, Lord, bowed down, don't know which way to turn. You know how to help. Lord, you even know those that apathy has set in. Lord, not even purposeful apathy, but it's just happened. And you know how to get them, Lord, by your Spirit, to care again about the things of Christ. I pray that as I preach about the cross, we'd see its power at work in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I know we're told we're not supposed to judge, and they've got that admonition all wrong. We'll leave it there. We're told we're not supposed to judge, but sometimes I can't help it. Especially when I see an evident oxymoron. I didn't say moron, I said oxymoron. Let's get that straight. But one of those is, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you have a person that's wearing a cross necklace. Okay? They've got a cross necklace on, and at the same time, they're holding a can of beer and drinking it. Don't go together. They have a cross necklace on, but they're cursing. They're talking immoral. They've got a cross necklace on, and they're dressed shamefully, immodestly. They got a cross necklace on, and everybody knows they're living in sin and in fornication. They got a cross necklace on, and right beside the cross is a demonic figure, or an unclothed human figure. It's not supposed to be that way. They need to realize the cross is not just jewelry. The cross, it was the instrument, the work that was accomplished on the cross has the power to radically, revolutionarily change their lives. Hallelujah. It's not a piece of jewelry to wear. It's a work to believe in that'll change people's lives. Hallelujah. Brother Tim, on these monitors, if you could help me just a little bit. You know, here in Corinthians, Paul's going to deal with a lot of problems the church had. And the New Testament church had a lot of problems. Some of the things he dealt with were divisions in the church. Brother against brother. He dealt with sexual immorality, and strongly so in that church. He dealt with problems. Their worship had got all messed up. Some folks had got overzealous and they weren't thinking of others in their worship. And so Paul, within that epistle, he's going to deal with a whole lot of problems. But he says, before I get to dealing with the problems, I want to take us all back to the cross. That's where we all need to be, because it's in the cross that there's a power to fix these problems. There's a problem, there's a power to be forgiven of this immorality. And I would say, even though we're church folks and we've heard the message over and over again, we need to take that trip with Paul. And whatever the problems in our life may be, I think we all just need to come back to the cross and realize it's in the cross that there's a power to overcome. Can you say amen this morning? You may be wondering about my title, Cross Opposite, and I've alluded to it, but it came to me in a moment last week. Here it is, Cross Opposite, that what was happening to Jesus on the cross had the exact opposite effect upon our lives. What was done to Christ and what Christ was doing on the cross had the exact opposite effect upon our lives. I want us to look at this. First of all, the cross appeared like defeat, but it was in fact victory. I said it appeared defeat, but it was victory. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see, the cross was the instrument, the enemies of Christ, and not just the human enemies, but the demonic, satanic enemies. The cross was the instrument that they chose to defeat Christ with. But I want you to know, when Jesus was hanging there, he wasn't just hanging there. It looks like he's doing nothing. It looks like he's motionless. It looks like he's just hanging there. But I want to tell you, when Jesus was hanging there, he wasn't just hanging there. He was accomplishing great things in the kingdoms of this universe. He was accomplishing great things for our lives. They chose the cross as an instrument of defeat. It appeared Satan had won. It appeared the demons had won. It appeared that darkness and evil had won. It appeared that religious hypocrisy had won. It appeared like betrayal had won. But I want you to know, clear up to his last breath on the cross and his first breath as a resurrected Lord in hell, the demons were celebrating. They really truly thought they had won. They thought that cross had done it. They thought Christ was defeated. But the very instrument they chose for his defeat, the cross, Jesus turned on them and defeated them. They celebrated victory, not realizing it was not his defeat, it was their defeat. He triumphed over them with the cross. It looked like defeat, but it was victory. You may think you have defeat in your life in every sense of the word: personal relationships, career, spiritually. It may appear like you have been defeated, but it appeared that way with Christ. But you've got to understand something this morning. His apparent defeat by the enemy on the cross actually was working for your victory at this moment. How many believes he knows how to turn defeat into victory? Oh, hallelujah. I like that song that said, when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was what I needed. and Calvary came through once again. I'm trying to help somebody. You really do feel defeated in spirit, defeated in mind, defeated by the circumstances, defeated by the attack of Satan, defeated by sickness, defeated by an adversity, defeated by a relationship problem. But I want to tell you, when you think you've been defeated, amen, the cross is what you need, because it's the ultimate symbol of what appeared to be defeat was in fact victory. The demon said, "We've got him." And he said, "No, I've got you." The demon said, "We've destroyed you with the cross." He said, "No, I've destroyed you with the cross." Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lamb across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, the cross was a heavy burden, but it unburdens us. In John 19, it says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, came to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." Can you imagine the weight of that wooden beamed cross on a beaten back, the loss of blood? I mean, he bore it. He bore the cross. The cross was a heavy burden. Oh, but it unburdened us. I said cross opposite. It was a heavy burden to him, but it was an unburdening of us. The opposite effect. In his weakened state, Christ struggled to bear that cross. And now that cross has been the place, Sister Norvell, where scores and scores of folks have come and been able to take the heavy burdens off their life and leave them at the cross. His heavy burden was an unburdening. Oh, I'm telling you, there's folks in this place this morning with a heavy burden. I want to tell you, because of the cross, you can be unburdened this morning. That's why Jesus gave the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How can he make such a promise? Because he bore the burden that we might be relieved of it. Instead of bearing the heavy burden you brought with you this morning, instead of bearing that all week, why don't you leave it at the cross in this communion? Because he already bore it. And then the cross was where sin was laid on Jesus, so that sin could be taken off of us. And make no mistake, without Christ, we are all under the weight of the penalty and the consequences of sin. We are. You see, there's a side. We get so caught up in the physical torments and the bodily torture inflicted on Christ at the cross that we forget the real pain, the real burden, was not what was visibly being done, but what was invisibly being done. The greatest burden wasn't the whip or the crown of thorns. The greatest burden was when God took the sins of the world and laid them on Christ. The penalty, the guilt, the condemnation. The prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We could shout right here. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin you're going to commit, every sin of right now, what is it, almost 7 billion people in the world, God's already laid all that sin upon Christ. It had the opposite effect. Laying the sin on Christ on the cross took the sin, as we confess, as we accept, took the sin off of us. Transferred it from our lives to the cross. Oh, aren't you glad for the power? You say that's a bunch of foolishness. It's because you haven't believed he's done it yet. Hallelujah. He took the sin off of us and put it on him. The cross, the sin was laid on him to take it off of us. One time the pastor preached about what an awful burden sin was, and a young man came to him afterwards and said, "Pastor, you got it all wrong. I live in sin. I carouse. I drink. I do everything you preach about, and I don't feel a bit of a burden. It's no burden to me. That sin's not." The pastor turned to the young man. He said, "You know, suppose we had a corpse laying out here. Do you think he would feel it if I put a 5-pound weight on his chest? No, he wouldn't feel that. What if I put a 25-pound weight on his chest? No, he wouldn't feel that. If I put a 100-pound weight on his chest, would he feel that? No, he would. You know why the pastor said? Because he's dead. And young man, the reason you don't feel the weight of sin is because you're dead in sin. Oh, but if you'd let the Spirit begin to awaken you, you'd realize what a heavy burden sin is. And the cross had the opposite effect by putting the sin on him. By his becoming our sin offering, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Hallelujah. And by putting the sin on him, by our faith in him, it takes it off of us. No guilt, no condemnation. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the power of the cross? And then the cross was where Jesus was unclothed, that we might be clothed in his righteousness. Matthew 27, they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Listen, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures did they cast lots. Whether it was completely being stripped of his garments, or at least stripped of all his outer garments, we all know as adults there's no greater indignity than to be unclothed before the mocking eyes of the public. That's another thing the world has tried to skew, but ever since the garden, ever since man first sinned, there has been such a shame of open public nudity. And the world's tried to change all that, but it's an indignant thing for someone to have their clothing taken from them and to be paraded in public. And here, we're not just talking about any man. We're talking about the purest of pure. We're talking about the most modest human that ever lived. He's light. In him there's no darkness. He's purity and holiness itself. And before the eyes of the public, he had his clothing taken from him, and he hanged naked upon the cross. But we got to understand the cross opposite principle. As he hanged there unclothed, he was clothing us with his righteousness. Hallelujah. You see, before God, we were naked with sin. Our sins were apparent. Our wickedness, our horribleness of self-will and self-way. I mean, there it all was before the eyes of God, open and naked to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But as they stripped Christ of his garments, oh, hallelujah, the Father took the purest white garments of the Son's righteousness and clothed us. And now God does not see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. The unclothing of Christ was the clothing of our heart. Philippians 3:9, we be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Ephesians 4, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You're here this morning. It may be something that everybody sees. Everybody knows you've done it. Everybody knows your sin. Everybody knows your hang up. Everybody knows your problem. It's just naked to people. But I want you to know, because of the cross, you can lift heart and hands and say, I'm covered. He was uncovered that I might be covered. You may see my past mistake, Brother Wilson, but God doesn't. Every prying eye saw the nakedness of Christ, so that when God looks at me, he no longer sees the things I've done. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have church, folks. Hallelujah. The cross had an opposite effect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. My heart sings his praise again. I do want to insert one warning. Hear me all across the building. Having served Christ, to turn from serving him is for you personally to unclothe him all over again. Hebrews 6, if they shall fall away, it's possible to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And then the cross was where Jesus' head was bowed, that ours might be lifted up. This is one of the saddest descriptions in the crucifixion story that it just kind of gets to me every time I go over it. There on the cross it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, John 19, he said, "It is finished." Here it is. And he bowed his head. He had never bowed his head, never had to bow his head before. He looked his enemies in the eye. He looked accusation in the eye. He looked demons in the eye. He looked any man in the eye. He bore up under everything. He never had to bow his head. But on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head. And he gave up the ghost. He bowed his head. But oh, cross opposite. He bowed his head so we could lift ours up. Oh, hallelujah. You know, a bowed head is a sign of grief. A bowed head is a sign of a heavy burden. A bowed head is a sign of discouragement. I saw some folks come in with bowed heads. Discouragement. Depression. But he bowed his head that we might lift ours up. He is the lifter of our head. You can leave here this morning with an uplifted head. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just praise him a moment. We got time to praise him. I want you to hear it again. He bowed his head that we could lift ours up. Lift our heads up without shame. Lift our heads up without guilt. Lift our heads up without condemnation. Lift our heads up without discouragement. Lift our heads up. Oh, hallelujah. We don't lift our heads up with pride. We lift our heads up with gratefulness. We've been forgiven. We don't lift our heads up in obstinance. We lift our heads up in grateful surrender. He lifted up my head. Hallelujah. As the youth choir sings, "Lift up your head. Be encouraged." He bowed his so you could lift yours up. I saw a humorous thing this week. I was driving down the road and apples are starting to turn ripe. And I saw the squirrel before I got there on the left side of the road. And he had an apple that looked about twice as big as his head in his mouth. And he decided he was going to beat me across the road. So he jumped out in the road and he took several leaps. And then the weight of the apple got to him and it dragged him down. He just And he got up and tried to run again, and it threw him again, so this time he left it and went on. I've seen people, they're really struggling because their heads are so bowed down. It's messing them up. They're bungling things. But I'm telling you, you can lift your head up this morning if you'll let the cross do its work. And then the cross was where Jesus' body was broken, so the broken pieces of our lives might be put together. Paul described the communion in 1 Corinthians 11. Said when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. We're going to be having communion in a little bit. But Jesus said that bread represents my broken body. Broken by the beating. I mean, his back was beaten in pieces. Broken by the burden he bared. But don't forget, cross opposite, the brokenness of his body is the putting together of the broken pieces of our life. Have you ever broken something? Light bulb, vase, and you knew right then that there was no way to ever put it together again. Some people look at their lives that way. Some young people, still teenagers, and their lives are so broken, they think to themselves, I can never be whole. I can never be put together. But let's not forget the principle of cross opposite. His body was broken so our lives could be put together. And I want to tell you with a certainty, he can put the broken pieces of your life together if you'll give him the pieces. I feel like God wants to help this morning. I'm not just preaching a sermon. I'm sharing the message of the cross, foolishness to this world, but the power of God to all who would believe. Your relation may be broken. Your heart may be broken. Your emotions may be broken. Your dreams may be broken. Your health may be broken. But he was broken that we could be put back together. And then the cross was where Jesus was alienated from God, that we might be reconciled to God. I want you to know there's no greater pain, there's no greater discouragement, there's no greater fear, there's no greater despair than to sense that God is not near and God is inaccessible. If you've ever been there, if you've ever been to the place that you didn't feel like God was anywhere around, it's a horrible place to be in. But what if it was a father-son relationship and suddenly you felt like your very father had forsaken you? Jesus said in Matthew 15, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross, God turned his face and Jesus felt forsaken of the Father, forsaken of God. Oh, but Brother Brock, cross opposite. He was forsaken by God that we could be reconciled to God. God distanced himself from Christ on the cross so that God could draw near to us through the blood of the cross. Oh, I don't know if we get that in our times anymore, but we were alienated from God. We were enemies of God. We were far from God. We were far from Christ. But since Jesus was alienated by the sin he bore on the cross and God turned his face from Christ, God's able to turn his face toward us and we can be reconciled. No longer enemies, but united with God. This is a problem that plagues all of humanity, and philosophers get the solution all wrong. And I'm not going to go into all that, except it's common to human nature to start feeling like you're not a part. Whether it's church, whether it's your family, whether it's work, whether it's with God, people start feeling like they're not a part. People have come to me before and say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm part of the church. And I said, well, that's nothing. I'm pastor and I don't feel like I'm a part. It's a default nature. That's why Jesus came. He came to reconcile, not just to reconcile us to God, but to reconcile us to one another. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm at one with other people. Well, that's no biggie. You don't feel like you're one with yourself if you're like me. You're at odds with yourself half the time. How are you going to get along with people? Did I say that right? Did that sound like truth? The whole thing is we need reconciled. We need reconciled to God. We need reconciled to one another. We even need reconciled with ourselves. But when he looked like he was being alienated, he was in fact bringing us together. And that's why not only have we been brought together with God, we've been brought together with one another. You may not have much liked the person across the house, but both of you get saved, both of you get in touch with God, and suddenly you love one another. Hallelujah. I said you love one another. Why? His alienation was bringing. You say, I don't feel like a part. Don't listen to Satan. Say, I am a part. I've been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no more distance between my soul, my Savior, my brothers. Hallelujah. Amen. The cross opposite effect. I'm about done. Just a few more. Let's get these. The cross was where Jesus was nailed that we might be set free. Amen. John 20:25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, saying to Thomas, but Thomas said unto him, them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Amen. Listen to me this morning. Have any of you older ones, I'm already in trouble right here, amen, already in trouble, but how many of you older ones have been around the countryside years ago when they used to trap and hunt animals and see an animal hide nailed up against a barn? Anyone ever seen that? And listen, that's some sight to see. But I want to tell you, they nailed Jesus to a cross. They fastened him there. A hide nailed to a barn side. It ain't going nowhere. It's fastened there. They nailed Jesus to a cross. They didn't shackle him. They didn't handcuff him. Amen. They nailed him to the cross. Why? When they fastened him to the cross, cross opposite, that set us free. Hallelujah. We were the one that was captive. We were the one that was bound. But when they bound him to the cross, it set us free. Have you been set free this morning? Can you see? He set me free. He set me once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrow. But Jesus was nailed to a tree that I could be set free. Are you free this morning? Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Cross opposite. The cross was where Jesus thirsted that we might have our thirst quenched. John 19. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture said, the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. I want you to think of the thirstiest you ever been. And I hear the greatest thirst is when you've had great loss of blood. You medical in the medical field can affirm this. There's no greater thirst than when you have great loss of blood. He thirsted like no man. Oh, but cross opposite. Why did he thirst? To quench ours. That's why he said to the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him and he would have given thee living water. You drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting. I'm telling you, he thirsted, but cross opposite, he thirsted to quench ours. The cross is where the blood poured out of his heart that it might be applied to ours. John 19 again. When the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and we know he speaketh true. The blood poured out of his heart that it might enter our heart and wash our heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you one more time. The blood poured out of his heart, cross opposite, so it could be applied to ours. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad for the cleansing? Hallelujah. Last of all, simply put, the cross was where Jesus died that we might live.
Cross opposite. He died on the cross. He really did. He gave up the ghost and he died. Oh, but he died that we might live. Hallelujah. And live abundantly. He that believeth on me, hallelujah, in the words that I speak, hallelujah, has passed from death unto life. I died that you might live. Hallelujah. Let's worship him as the singers came. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My sins are gone. I want you to remember this cross opposite. What happened to Jesus on the cross had an opposite effect in our lives. Back in 1999, a missionary, Pastor Sain, went into the northern remote provinces of Cambodia. He began to go from village to village and preach, but nobody would receive the gospel of Christ. Those areas are given to Buddhism and Spiritism. Nobody would receive him. He came to one village and he preached Jesus, preached the cross. And all of a sudden, the villagers just began to pour in the altars. It looked like the whole village turned to Christ. And as they got up from praying, an elderly woman came to Pastor Sain, and she said to him, "We've been waiting for you for 20 years. And she told him this story. She said, 20 years ago in 1979, since 1970 in Cambodia, the cruel Communist Party had been sweeping through the land, and they would go into a village and just gather up the people, make them dig their own graves, make them face their grave and shoot them in the back and go on to the next village. She said they came to our village, gathered us all up, people are wailing and crying, made us dig our own grave, turn and face our grave. And she said as we turned to face the grave, she said people were literally screaming. Some were screaming out their Buddhist prayers, screaming out to Buddha. The spiritists there were screaming out to demons and to ancestors, screaming, screaming. But there was one woman who, as a little girl, her mother had told her about the God who hanged on the cross. Somehow her mother had wandered into a mission station and heard this story, didn't know much, but she told her daughter. And so standing there in front of the grave that she was about to be shot and dropped into, this one had been a girl, now a woman. All others were screaming out prayers to these other gods, but she began to cry with a loud voice, "Oh God that hanged on the cross, oh God that suffered, you see God that suffered, you see how we're suffering, oh God that hanged on the cross, hear us." And all of a sudden something began to happen. The other people listened, and though they knew nothing about this, all up and down that line of graves, they began to cry out, "Oh God that hanged on the cross, hear us. Oh God that hanged on the cross, hear us. Oh God that hanged on the cross, hear us." They cried for several minutes and they grew silent, and there wasn't a sound. And they turned around, and every communist soldier was gone, and their lives were spared. And the elderly woman said, "We've been waiting for 20 years for somebody to come and tell us more about the God that hanged on the cross, that suffered for us. And now you've come." Oh, it's that simple. In foolishness, no, sir. It's the power of God. It'll change your life. You know you're bearing that burden. You know you're facing what you're facing. You know you're bound with what you're bound. You know the fear. You know the temptation. You know the problem. You know your head is bowed down. Oh, but what he accomplished on the cross can have the opposite effect on you. You can lift up your head. You can be set free. You can live. You can know him this morning. Let's worship him across the building. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him. Oh, hallelujah. I know it's Communion Sunday, but all through this preaching this morning, I just feel that somebody is in the balance. You're about to let that thing win out in your life. You're about to surrender. You're about to let it get to you. But I'm telling you, it don't have to be that way. Jesus has already suffered so the opposite could happen in your life. And you could be set free. You could be forgiven. You can be delivered. You can be helped. You can be healed. Why do we walk around broken when He's already been broken? Why do we walk around with the bondage on our when He's already been bound? Why do we walk around with bowed spiritual heads when He's already bowed His? Why do we walk around with spiritual thirst when He's already thirsted? Hallelujah. During this communion service, I want you to call out to God and say, God, I need the power of the cross in my life. How many's willing to do that? Say, during the serving of communion, I'm going to be crying out, God, I need the power of the cross. Don't make this about man. Don't make this about religion. Don't make this about a visible church. I'm talking about Christ. What He's done can make a difference for us. Not when we come in pride and knowledge and thinking we have it all together. But we come and kneel at that cross. Oh, hallelujah. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and start coming, service. But let's worship Him again. The Spirit of the Lord's in the house. Let Him do His work in your heart right now, would you? Amen. Servers, would you come? But let's worship Him, church. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Let Him do His work. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We don't lift our heads up in pride. We lift our heads up in relief. The burden's gone. The guilt's gone. Hallelujah. We lift up our heads not in arrogance, but we lift up our heads to worship God, from whom our restoration has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, worship Him. Continue to worship Him as
to I lost all my will to live. Many times I tried, too many times I failed, and it only brought tears and shame. Then I saw that old cross where I won through his loss, and I knew one more time there his strength became mine. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to live, just when I thought I'd been defeated,
hallelujah,
the cross was
what
I needed.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. Could you stand? It's the power of God. The cross is the power of God. We're going to give thanks for the broken body of Christ together. But I want you to believe spiritually this morning that God is going to do some healing in this house. Things that are broken, He's going to put them together. How many believes it right now? Right now, he was broken on the cross so we could be put together. Let's give thanks together for the broken body of Christ. Lord, you were broken beyond measure. You were beaten with the whip. You bore our sins. You were broken. Lord, I pray that somebody would feel the broken pieces of their heart come together right now. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your back to those that would smite it. You were broken, oh God. You've given us the bread of life. You broke that and gave it to us that we might have life and be put together. Thank you for this bread that we're about to partake. Thank you that you gave your body. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Brother Cruz, would you give thanks for the cup for us? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the cup. Hallelujah. By faith be cleansed by His blood. Be cleansed of every sin, everything of the heart. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, let Him heal. Let Him unburden you right now. Let Him lift the burden off right now. Hallelujah. Lift up your head. Be encouraged. Oh, lift up your head. Be cleansed by His blood. The blood that poured out of His heart, let it just wash over you. The blood that poured out of His heart, let it wash over you. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of God, minister from front to back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Christ. You're the one that suffered. You're the one that bled. You're the one that died. You're the one that laid down your life that we might pick up ours. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing this with them. The cross is victorious. Oh, Calvary. It's coming through right now as we worship Him. Calvary's coming through.
The cross is coming through.
When I lost,
oh, hallelujah.
All my courage to win. Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed.
That's what you need this morning. You need the cross. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's when Calvary,
it came through once again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just when I thought I've been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through.
Hallelujah.
Once again.
I've told this several times through the years. One of the darkest times of my life, I'd lay in bed that night, way up into the early hours, unable to sleep, just burdened down, didn't feel like I could go on. But I had my alarm set on radio. And back then, when you had radio alarms, and had it set for early in the morning, and when it went off, the very first sounds out of that alarm radio, the very first sounds was when I thought I'd been defeated. The cross was what I needed. You just thought you were defeated, but you've seen the power of the cross this morning. Hallelujah. One more time. If you need the power of the cross in your life, lift your hearts and hands and believe Him to lift your head, to unburden you, to strengthen you, to wash you, to put the broken pieces together, to quench your thirst. Let Him minister right now. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, let Him minister to you right now, right where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, minister. Make it real. Make it real, Spirit of God. Make Jesus real. Make the cross real. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.